Wasn't long ago that we looked into the parable of the prodigal son, and we looked at it a little bit differently, to look at a different lesson or different lessons in the parable that we might not always look at when we study that particular parable. And we're going to do the same tonight with a different story, the story of Cain and Abel. We mentioned the story of Cain and Abel this morning as far as how Cain had a choice as to how he was going to act in the moment before he made the decision to kill his brother. But we're going to look at this story and see how we can learn some lessons that we might not originally think of when looking at the story. Turn with me to where Cain and Abel's story is told in Genesis chapter 4. Verses 1 through 7, and let's look at it together. Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, Why are you so angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." So these, the lessons that we're going to look at, normally we're going to see a normal lesson would be, you shouldn't kill your brother, you should love your brother, you should take care of your brother, you should care for your brother, provide for your brother, and again, obviously, you shouldn't kill someone just because you're angry at them for taking someone's life is wrong. We understand all that. We get those lessons. But let's go deeper than that and look and see what else we can learn. And I believe there are four unspoken truths from this story that we're going to be learning today. And we're going to apply these things to our lives and see how we can learn from them and not make the same mistake that Cain did as we go through the story. So, we notice first of all in the story that God was pleased with one sacrifice and He was not pleased with the other sacrifice. And that means that God must have set a standard. Now, in this story, we're not told what the standard is. We're not told why God accepted one and didn't accept the other. There's not any detail given as far as why He liked one sacrifice and why he didn't like the other one. Now we can deduct why. We can maybe try to figure out why. And we can probably be right about that. But we're not told specifically what was wrong with Cain's sacrifice and what was right with Abel's sacrifice. But we do know that that was true. That God was pleased with one and he was not pleased with the other. And we also know that the two, both Cain and Abel, both brought some sort of sacrifice. So they got that part right. They brought a sacrifice to God, and yet these sacrifices were totally different sacrifices. Now, it's pretty natural to see why the sacrifices were different. Because when Abel brought his sacrifice, it was a firstborn of his flock, meaning that he had animals, he raised animals, he brought one of them for an offering. But then Cain didn't raise animals. That wasn't his job. Abel had a job raising the animals. Cain did not have a job raising animals. Cain's job was raising fruit, growing fruit, bringing up fruit from the ground of which he tilled. And when you look at these two sacrifices, it doesn't say that Abel, in bringing his sacrifice. We know that it's the right thing that he brought. But then Cain, as far as bringing the fruit from the ground, we're not told that it was bad fruit. We're not told that it was rotten fruit. That anything, you know, as far as the look of it was ugly, or that it was rotten, or that it was despised in that way. We're not told anything about that. So we can assume that he would have brought the very best fruit that he had. So as he was looking at the fruit and deciding what he was going to take to the Lord, to sacrifice to the Lord, he probably picked out the best kind of fruit which he had from the ground. But what we can also deduct from this is that God must have told them what to sacrifice, and we're just not told what that is. And again, we can assume and we can think about it and ponder it and try to come up with a conclusion as to what the problem of it was, but we know that God told them what to do, that Abel did it, and that Cain did not do it. Because if Cain would have done it correctly, would have done as God said, then he wouldn't have been punished for it. And that's natural. We understand that. But then we can also look and see what the Hebrew writer said about that in Hebrews 11 and verse 4. And know for certain that God told them what to do when it came to their sacrifices. Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Notice the very first word, well, it's the second word in the verse, but the first main word in the verse, in 11 and verse 4, says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." So if it was by faith, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That means God must have told them what to do. And again, Cain did not obey it, and Abel did obey it. All right, so, and we'll get to more what that might have been a little bit later as far as what might have been right or wrong with the sacrifice. But again, we're not told more than that. We just know that Abel knew what to do, Cain knew what to do, Abel did it, and Cain did not do it. Now, we're also, it's very similar to what we see in the story of Nadab and Abihu in the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 2. We remember these were sons of Aaron. They were priests, and they were offering sacrifices. And yet, according to chapter 10 and verse 1, they offered what is referred to as profane fire before the Lord. So they offered a sacrifice, but it wasn't the right kind of sacrifice. Why wasn't it the right kind of sacrifice? Well, God had at some point in time told them what to do, and they didn't do it right. And so as we know in verse 2, fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So they didn't get a chance to fix it then. He just devoured them at that point in time. And again, that's Nadab and Abihu in chapter 10, verses 1 through 2. And this is true whenever God told someone what to do, He gave them a standard. He told them how to do it. Think about during the days of Moses and Joshua. He didn't leave them hanging and say, well, you just figure it all out. He told them specifically how he was to be worshipped, when it was supposed to be done, specific examples of all of that. And if you look in, as we see on the screen, Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. And then we'll look and see in just a minute what we mean as far as the specifics that they were given. But Joshua 24 and verse 14 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." So that was what Joshua told the people before his leadership ended, is before he's going to die. He says, serve the Lord. He and his house, he says later, have decided to do that. You too, do whatever God says. Do so sincerely. Do so in truth. Fear God, respect God and serve the Lord. Now, as we said, they were told specifically what to do. And you can go back to the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 20, and see some examples of that. And we're not going to go through each one of these and read all of this, but here's one of the things in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, that they are told specifically to do. In verse 8, they were told to remember the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And they're told specifically how to do that. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. And so the 6 days they're to work, the seventh day they are to do no work. Specifically, this is what you do on the Sabbath day. All of their sacrifices and offerings, they were told how to do it. If they were supposed to offer an animal, they were told to offer an animal. If they were supposed to offer grain, then they were told to offer grain. Whatever it was that they were told to do, and Leviticus chapters 1 through 6 goes into the detail. We're not going to read it all, as we said. But you go through those passages and you see specifically, offer this sacrifice, do it this way. If it's an animal, it was to be a yearling the first year. It was supposed to have no spot or blemish. Supposed to be the best that they had. This was specifically what was supposed to be done. When it comes to the tabernacle, you talk about the furniture in the tabernacle. It's built this way. And God said, this is what you build it out of. This is how you do it. This is specifically what has to be done. He tells us what to do. When it comes to the priest, what's the priest supposed to wear? Well, he's got specific garments to wear. They're certain colors. They're made out of certain material. He washes them a certain way at a certain time. I mean, everything is just laid out. And again, this is one reason why, when it came to the old law, that it was a burden. Because, I mean, you go through and you have to do everything exactly right, and it's laid out just boom, 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 boom. This is how you do it, every detail of it. He sets a standard. And that's what he did with these sacrifices that Cain and Abel had to offer also, a specific standard that had to be done. Well, when you move on to the time of Malachi, and you think about the offerings during the days of Malachi, and this is, I want us to turn and read this in Malachi chapter 1, verses 7 through 14. What the prophet tells the children of Israel that they must do. And we can apply this certainly to us also. But this is how it was during the days of Malachi. God's standard was there for them to follow. You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. But now entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us. While this is being done by your hands, will he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts. Who is there even among you who would shut the door so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and every place incense shall be offered to my name. And a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it, in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and its fruit, its food, is contemptible. You also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick, thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver who has in his flock a male and takes a vow, but sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is to be feared among the nations. You see the reverence and the respect and the love and the the way you should bow down before God and serve God, and how he says you give your very best in every way. You bring the best sacrifice, you do it this way, and if you don't do it this way, God is not pleased. And he tells them that over and over and over again. You want to serve me, you want to please me, you want me to look at you favorably, then this is how you do it. So it's that way all through history, all the way back even to Cain and Abel. And Cain didn't do it right, and Abel did do it right. And of course, this is our standard today. God has told us how to worship him. He's told us how to live our lives. He's told us how to spread his gospel. When we deviate from that, we change it up, we don't do it his way, he's not pleased with that. So specifically, we worship in spirit and in truth. We live our lives loving our neighbors and taking care of and providing for others and living our lives in service to others. We evangelize by taking the gospel to everyone. And these passages on the screen lay it all out as far as what we have to do. So we can't think that all the way in the beginning with Cain and Abel, if God was going to punish Cain for offering a wrong sacrifice, then we can't think that God said, oh, well, just do whatever you want to do. God told him what to do, how to do it, and Cain did not obey it. Again, by faith, he did not offer the sacrifice that he was told to offer. So, the first point, he must have set a standard. The second point is this. In setting that standard, it didn't matter what his profession was, what either one of their professions were. Because, as we said, Cain and Abel had different jobs. When Cain brought up fruit from the ground and Abel raised sheep. Totally different jobs. Okay, so if Cain raises or brings up fruit from the ground and Abel raises sheep, then if, which this is more than likely what the problem was with the sacrifice, if God said, you offer to me a sacrifice of flesh and blood, an animal sacrifice, then who would have had the easier job doing that? It's pretty obvious Abel could have gone to his flock and taken the best lamb that he had and offered that sacrifice and given it to God. Cain may not have had the same access to that. Cain may not have been able to just go out and get a lamb very easily and offer the right sacrifice to God. And so that means that if they had access to different things, it very possibly was easier for Abel than for Cain to fulfill this commandment from God. If God said, you offer a sacrifice, an animal sacrifice to me. We know later on, when God tells the children of Israel to offer sacrifices, they are animal sacrifices. And so more than likely, that's the problem with Cain's sacrifices. He did not bring forth an animal sacrifice. He brought forth fruit of the ground. So yes, it would have been easier for Abel than for Cain, because Abel raised animals and Cain did not. And so this is what our initial reaction to that might be. That's not fair. How can that be fair? For God to ask something of someone where they don't even raise an animal, and yet you are supposed to offer an animal, and when he gave probably the very best of what he did, that wasn't enough, because that's not what God asked for. It's not fair, we might say. Because Abel had access to the proper offering that Cain may not have had that same access to. But then the question is, does that exclude Cain from his obligation to offer the sacrifice God commanded? And certainly it doesn't. Cain has to do what God says, even if it's more difficult for him. Now, when you think about Christians today, we think about how maybe what we do for a living. And we think about our service to God in comparison to what we do for a living. There may be some people that have a job, and they are told in their job, if you want to keep your job, and if you want to be able to earn the money as we are giving it to you, then you have to be willing to lie to our clients about whatever it is. Someone else may have a job where they don't have to do that. Well, it's not fair. How is it that this person is expected the same thing as this person is when it comes to pleasing God? Well, the fact of the matter is, we're all expected to do the same thing. No matter what our job is, no matter what our profession is, we have to follow God's will anyway. Some people may have to demand things from their jobs, from their bosses, that others don't have to, because some may have a problem with it and some don't. It may be easier for some to serve than others because of that, is the point. Some people may not have to worry about it. Some people may have to worry about it. Some people may have to struggle with it. It may be harder for some than others, but that doesn't mean that the standard is not the same, regardless as far as what the profession is, and we all have to follow His standard. God's not going to make exceptions based upon who we are and what we do and what He expects us all to do the same thing. And it all goes back to, are we going to put God first in our lives? Is God the most important thing in our lives? And, you know, we go back to our meeting as we talked about this point also. Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's what's expected. Whatever we do for a living, it's not going to hinder that. We're going to make sure that we serve Him anyway. So this is the choice that Cain had to make. Is he going to do what God says, and maybe a little bit more difficult for him to? He may have to get out of his comfort zone to do it, but is he going to do what God says, or is he going to try to get by with whatever the easy way is? Well, Cain tried to get by with what was easy for him. Go out and get the best fruit and give it to God. So he made the wrong choice in regard to that. Well, now a third lesson we can learn from Cain and Abel is that God loves everyone equally. When it came to Cain and Abel, He did not punish Cain and not punish Abel because He loved Abel more than Cain. That wasn't the reason. We know that God shows no partiality. That's what Paul said when he was preaching in Acts chapter 10 to the Gentiles. He perceived that God shows no partiality in Acts 10 and verse 34. So we know that God does not love one more than another. Therefore, we can deduct that the reason God respected Abel's sacrifice and rejected Cain's had nothing to do with who He loved more. And God wanted Cain and Abel both to have the opportunity to follow Him, to serve Him, to be right with Him, just like He wants all of us to be saved. He's not going to look at us and say, well, this person's better, I love this person more, I want this person to be saved, and this person I don't care as much about. And we often use the example of Saul and Stephen, and ask, well, who did God love more? He loved them both. He loved Stephen, who was being stoned for what he was preaching, and He loved Saul, who was there breathing threats and murder against Christians. Wanted them both to be saved, and that's why later on He appears to Saul on the road and gives him the opportunity to learn the truth and be saved by it. But Cain and Abel were both equal, and that's what we have to understand. They are both equal individuals. He wants us all to be saved. He wanted them both to do what was right. He loves me as much as He loves the most despicable person on this earth who has done terrible things We have to understand that and know that about God. And that should humble us. It should cause us to appreciate His grace and mercy, appreciate what He does for us. And it should desire for us to desire that others be saved also. But Cain and Abel were equal, and God loved them equally. So again, when it comes to Saul or Stephen, we understand who God that God loved them both equally, as He does all of us. So, when we look at Cain and Abel, and we see that God loved them both, and God gave them both the same opportunity, He told them what to do, both of them had the opportunity to do it. One, it may have been more difficult than the other, but He still expected them to do it. But then at the end of this, I want us to notice a final point in regard to Cain and Abel, that God would have accepted a change. And God does accept change even today, because Cain, we can see in our story, had the opportunity to correct his error. Remember this morning in our lesson, as we were talking about the choice we have to make. We can either choose to succumb to temptation and sin and fall to it, or to get away from it and do the right thing. But we have that choice that we can make. Well, Cain had the same choice at the end here. After Abel made the right sacrifice, pleasing God, and Cain did not make the right sacrifice that was not pleasing to God, this is what the Lord said to Cain in verse 6. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry?" Genesis 4 and verse 6. "And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." If you do well, will you not be accepted? Now, he hadn't done well yet, because he didn't offer the right sacrifice. What should Cain then have done? Should he have gone and, with all of his jealousy and his rage, gone and killed his brother? Well, obviously we know that that was wrong and that he's punished for it. So what should he have done? Here's the moment where he can decide what to do. "Oh, I'm sorry for doing that. I shouldn't have done it. I'm going to do better next time. I'll go and get you the right sacrifice now and bring it to you and offer it to you." Cain could have corrected his sin. No, Nadab and Abihu, they were not given a second chance. They were struck dead. Cain was given another chance where he could have made the decision to do the right thing. He had that luxury. And yet, he passed it up. In his jealousy and his rage, he totally continued down the path of disobedience to God in turning and killing his brother, which he did out of his rage. Again, Nadab and Abihu didn't have the same opportunity that he did. But when we think about our lives and we do things that are not right with God, we do that all the time. We sin against Him. We turn against Him. We don't do it by the standard. We don't follow the pattern as we should. When we sin against Him, He gives us the opportunity to correct our past lives. When we sin, He doesn't strike us dead and say, "Well, you messed up and it's over." We have these examples of who He did that to see the seriousness of sin, and to see that we need to change it and get away from it. But we have opportunity to correct our lives even if we make wrong choices. We have the time now to determine that we should do right in our lives even if we have made a wrong choice. And we can look at Cain and see the wrong decision that he made. And we can see his jealousy overtaking him and him killing his brother. And we can see how he did it the wrong way. And we can use that as an example to say, "Well, when I know that I'm wrong, I know that I've sinned, I know that I'm not living right, I know that I haven't obeyed, I know that I'm not pleasing to God now, but I'm going to change it now. Right here and now, I understand that God accepts change. He will accept my change. He will accept me changing my heart and turning to Him, and He will be willing to forgive me. Whether we are Christians or not Christians already, He will forgive me. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, when those who are Christians sin again after we have obeyed the gospel, He's promised us that He will forgive us if we turn back to Him. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It's not just a one and done thing. It's not just we have one chance. We can be forgiven. And one thing that's fascinating about this story is that God even told Cain, you can change it, you can make it right. And he took it a step further, took his sin a step further, rather than correcting himself. Rather than saying, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up, I'll do better next time. We have the opportunity to do better next time. And I hope that we take advantage of that opportunity. So all of these points that, again, we may not often think about when we look at this story, that God had to set a standard. Evidently, you're supposed to offer an animal sacrifice to me. Abel did, Cain did not. We see that it didn't matter what they did for a living, they're expected of the same thing. And then God loves them both and wants them both to do the right thing. And then if you didn't do the right thing, you can correct it. So I hope that we understand these points and that we can learn from them and apply them to our lives and become better Christians because of them. By looking all the way back at a story a long, long, long time ago about how Cain and Abel had a chance to please God and serve God. We need to take every opportunity we have to sacrifice to God as He would have us to sacrifice to Him. It begins in the waters of baptism when we repent of our sins and we're baptized in water for the remission of our sins. We then begin sacrificing for God, serving Him each and every day. We hope that you will decide to do that, to become a child of God and to live the life of a Christian. If you have already become a Christian, and you haven't been living as you should, we want you to correct your life, to turn back to God, to do as we saw in 1 John chapter 1, and pray and ask the Lord to forgive you. Confess your sins to Him, and He certainly will do that. But if you need to become a child of God, won't you do so now while we stand and while we sing? Will you come, will you come?